listening to the Hour of the Time, finally. Oh, you just won't believe what's just happened here, folks. I was going to do a rerun. And in the process of... There's something going on here that I really don't understand. There seems to be some outside signal that every once in a while is picked up by the automatic functions of some of the equipment in our studio. And anyway, as I began the broadcast and the cassette deck that records the broadcast was running, recording, and then I started the play cassette deck that was going to play the rerun. All of a sudden, the record deck shut off and began to rerun, rewind, I should say, all by itself. And that's, you know, there's no way that can happen unless you either push the button and make it happen, or there is a signal like from a remote control or a microwave tower, whatever it is that makes these things do these things. And all of these are capable of being remote controlled and have remotes, although the remotes are not in the studio. We do not use the remotes. And so while I'm trying to stop the record tape from rewinding and get it back to the position where it should be recording, the play deck began to just automatically stop. And then I would start it again, and then it would go a little bit and then stop, and then start it again, and then, well, you all heard it. And then as I got the record deck going to record the broadcast, because we must have a recording of every broadcast, all of a sudden the play deck ate the tape. And then, just like magic, the deck, which has the compact discs, and I've solved all this problem by turning everything off except for the record deck, which is now recording with no problem. The compact disc deck then began to play something that wasn't supposed to play. So we're on top of a mountain, and there are mountains, you know, all over the place. And some of them have microwave transmission towers and antennas and all kinds of things. And what I think is happening is just every once in a while, some signal transmits that somehow interferes with this equipment. And but it seems that they also interact with each other. If one receives a signal that makes it do something, it sometimes makes the others do something that they're not supposed to do. Now bear in mind that the remotes are not in here. We don't use the remotes in the broadcasting studio. Everything has to be controlled, and I don't know what to do about this. It's happened before, and I really don't know what to do about it, except maybe to, and we can't do that because that costs more money. I mean, it's not even, I can't even talk about it because we can't do it. We can't just get rid of this stuff and get other equipment that may not, you know, react with each other. This is all JVC equipment. And it's all set up so that if you had it in a stereo, I shouldn't say it's all JVC equipment, the two cassette decks and the CD player that's used for intro music and particular songs and the Hour of the Time and things like that are all JVC. And they're manufactured so that you can put them together in a stereo unit. And with a remote, you can control everything. And I'm beginning to understand that that's not a good idea. It's just not a good idea at all. And so I've got to figure out some way to disable all this remote stuff because something is triggering it. Either it's something external to the studio, or these things are somehow triggering each other, even though they're not hooked together to be able to do that. And I don't really understand all of that because I'm not an electronics wizard. In fact, I'm not an electronics anything, let alone even approaching the wizard state. So that's that's a gross misstatement. If anything, I am below the level of understanding anything more complicated than a simple DC circuit, which, as you all know, doesn't have anything to do with anything in this studio. Even if you don't know anything, you know that. So, since we can't do the rerun, and the reason I wanted to do the rerun is I'm extremely busy in the process of getting Veritas published, issue number 15, which is, you know, almost done, folks. It's coming out. And also doing the webpage, which, by the way, it just is looking fantastic. You're all going to be so pleased with that. I'm pleased with what we've done so far, and so is everybody around here who's seen it. And I think you will be, too. It's going to be absolutely dynamite. And in concert with your suggestions to keep it simple, stupid, well, this stupid fellow is keeping it very simple. And it still looks fantastic. And so, you know, what can I say? I'm going to try to find some music here to play while I kind of regroup. And then I guess what we're going to have to do is do telephones today, because I was prepared to work on Veritas and the webpage, and was not prepared to do a radio broadcast. So what I'm going to do is just click this over here and go to and hope this works. And I'll be back in a couple of minutes, folks. Don't go away. Okay, I'm back, whatever that means, and we're going to take your calls because I haven't prepared for anything other than doing a rerun, which the machine ate. In fact, I can't even get the cassette out of the machine. I don't really understand what's going on here, except that it doesn't work, and I don't know if it's going to work. I don't know if I can even, see, I try to open the door and nothing happens. So we're going to take your calls at 520-333-4578 and talk about whatever you want to talk about today, wherever you're at, whatever it is that you want to talk about, whatever's on your mind. That's what we're going to do. So get it together and get on the phone and give me a call right now, 520-333-4578. That's the format for today. It's going to be a live call-in broadcast. And after the broadcast is over, I'm still not going to be able to get to the work I wanted to get to, simply because I got to figure out how to get this tape that got ate up out of this silly cassette player here so that we can do a broadcast tomorrow. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon, Bill. This is Mike out in LaBelle, Florida.
Hello, Mike.
You talk about a strange scenario. I had an experience today where I'm in a criminal misdemeanor trial litigation here, and the judge that stepped in, his law firm is in my civil suit, so I'm working on a conflict of interest.
Wait a minute. You've got to put this in a perspective that the listeners understand what you're talking about.
Well,
you say you're in a criminal misdemeanor. Trial.
They basically picked me up for under color of law in my own subdivision on private property on private roads, and they're trying to make me stop the civil action investigating in this town.
Well, wait a minute. What did they pick you up for?
Resisting arrest.
wait a minute. How can you resist arrest if you're not being arrested for something? What were they picking you up for?
Well, I know that. I went to, like I said, I tried going into this hearing, or this arraignment hearing today, and I think that Judge Starnes...
Wait a minute. Hold it. Let's get back and understand what you're talking about.
Go ahead.
You were walking around on private property and private roads, and somebody came and arrested you.
Right.
And you resisted arrest. What were they arresting you for?
Oh, taking photos of police cars maliciously trespassing on private property.
Oh, so you were taking photographs of police cars trespassing on private property where they have no business to be.
Exactly.
And so they came to arrest you, and you resisted arrest, and so then they arrested you for resisting arrest.
Right. Something like that.
So what are the charges against you now?
Stopping a patrol vehicle on a public highway, which is really on a private road.
Stopping a patrol vehicle? How can you stop a patrol vehicle? I mean, if he didn't want to stop, he could just run right over you.
Well, I know that, but they were trying to get out of the subdivision. It's a real long story, but the funny thing about it is that I was mad because they didn't do anything today, and then I realized that they opened up a whole new avenue. It's called the Code of...
Wait a minute. Our listeners still don't know what's going on. Why were you taking these pictures of these people?
Well, they've been intimidating me for about the past month or 2 months continuing into investigating into this civil action that I've got in the subdivision.
Okay, so you're suing somebody
in the subdivision
for something, and it's in the civil court, and they don't want you to do this.
Yeah, exactly right. He's an ex CEO and president of a major bank here.
Oh, I see. So he has political pull. You know, you could sue the hell out of everybody that's involved in this stuff.
Oh, and the funny thing is that today when I got there, they went for like a rush to for a continuance because this judge, he's all over, or I should say, his daughter's law firm is all over in my civil court action.
What do you mean all over?
Well,
are they representing you? Are they representing
some facts?
Excuse me, hold on. Are they representing you? Or are they representing the person you're suing?
They're representing the bank, and they're representing the person that I'm suing.
So this judge is sitting on the bench in a conflict of interest.
I would say so. I'm going through my Florida rules of court book, and I'm coming across this code of justice.
All you have to do to get this rectified is walk into court, state the conflict of interest on the record in the court, ask that it be entered into the record, and formally move that the judge recuse himself from this case. It doesn't matter how the case is decided. It's going to go to appeal, and you'll win the appeal based just upon that.
And so I'm gathering up everything around the house that has Henderson, Franklin, Starnes, and Holt, and entering this tomorrow into my criminal action.
I like that. Henderson, Franklin, Starnes, and Holt.
I've been worrying about how to get some of the knowledge into the criminal court because that's basically what they arrested me for, and they just gave me an Amtrak hole.
Well, that's great.
I know.
Wonderful.
At first, I was real mad that they did this to me, and then my son Candy across the street, she said, "Don't you see what the Lord gave you?"
Yeah.
They
depend upon most people to be ignorant of the law and not understand what's happening or how to use the information that's at their fingertips.
So, like my friend Pat says, let them get on the record and then use their words against them.
That's right. Let them get on the record and then you riding the Amtrak and them laying on the tracks, just run right over them.
Hey, God bless you and keep up the great work, guy.
God bless you, and I hope you just rake these people over the coals and then don't quit there. Take each and every single one of them and sue them individually.
I filed for a thing called the Informa Pauperis. It's a status thing, so I can use their money in the court system.
Yeah, I saw that. You sent me all your papers.
Use them to hang them with.
Yeah.
I think it's really funny. I see this judge
Well, they're used to getting their way. See, they're not used to having anybody walk into their court who knows anything. Most people are just nothing but sheep ready to go to the slaughter when they walk into court.
They want you to lay down, roll over, and die.
That's because that's exactly what most people do, because most people are ignorant, apathetic, and stupid when it comes to the law, and when they walk into a court, they're nothing but stakes on the table and beasts of burden by choice and consent, and somebody's going to write them and strap them down with that burden, and then when they're finished, they're going to carve them up into steaks and eat them, and they deserve it. Yeah.
It's really funny, and they give me the opportunity like today.
Well, that's because they think you're stupid. See, that's the first mistake, is that most of the people who go into the courts are stupid when it comes to the law. They're ignorant and they're stupid. And when they run into somebody who's not, they just can't believe it. They just know that there's no way that you're doing what you're doing because you know something, or because you've studied the law, or because you have information that can be detrimental to them. They think that it's an accident, and they'll get you in the next step.
Hey, you know, another thing in the civil action, this is why they're basically harassing me, is I caught seven of their building and zoning people that were out of step as far as legally being able to take government funds. They didn't have no loyalty oaths or proper paperwork on file to accept any county commissioner funds. And then I even went even one step further, and I found out that the director of building and zoning out here, he's entertaining three different jobs, a city tax collector, city tax commissioner, and director all at the same time, which is in direct violation of Florida Constitution Article 2, Section 5.
And if he hasn't executed a proper oath, and if it's not on file, then he is not, in effect, lawfully occupying any of those offices.
No, and then all of the building permits that are, prior to his signing, they're, like, basically invalid.
Null and void.
I know, and this is, I don't know what to do with me, because I'm holding seven of their little rump rangers in my hand, but that's the other time that they're getting me for... I just didn't stop. I ended up telling them, look, you ain't got nothing. You shouldn't even be here. Go on home. And I'm going home. And they just stopped me on the road and took me down to jail for a couple hours. I think it's a big joke.
Well, it is a big joke. But I got to tell you, in what you're doing, do it.
Yeah,
and do it with all of your might. But at the same time, watch your back.
I know. Well, I depend on the Lord for that.
Well, you got to... The Lord helps those who helps themselves. So watch your back.
Hey, God bless you. I'll let someone else in.
God bless you, too. Thank you for the call.
Bye.
520-333-4578. We were going to do a rerun today, and you've all heard the story about that. So now we have a live call-in show, and that's what we'll be doing for the rest of the hour. Good afternoon. You're on the air. Sure.
Is there any possibility of getting real audio for your broadcast? Because my shortwave, I have difficulty in receiving your signal here in Georgia, about 100 miles south of Atlanta.
Let me ask you something. Well, first let me tell you something. I write books. My trust publishes books. We publish a national newspaper. I do the hour of the time. We've created a worldwide radio network on satellite. We were instrumental in urging the American public, and they picked it up and ran with the ball to create low-power FM broadcasting across the country and carry these broadcasts as affiliates. And I travel and speak and research. Why can't you do it?
Well, if you need money, I'll send you some, and I'm sure everybody...
No, that's not what I said. Why can't you purchase a low-cost satellite receiving station and put it on the Internet?
My nearest neighbor is about 5 miles away.
I didn't ask you that. Goodbye. Folks, I'm doing all that I can. I can't do anymore. You want something else? Don't call me and ask me to do something else. You get off your lazy butts and you do it. Because I'm carrying the ball for most of you, for everything, and most of you don't do anything but get up in the morning, tie your shoes, eat breakfast, go to work, come back, sit on your butts, and wait for somebody like me to deliver all this information to you. And then you always want me to do more. And then when you find out I'm a human being like everybody else, you chastise me and get angry at me because I'm a human being and I may have made a mistake or something. It just amazes me. Absolutely amazes me. You want real audio of the hour of the time of the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network on the internet, you put it there. You invest something in this effort in your country in helping to wake up the American people. You do it. Stop asking me to do everything for you. I can only do so much. I can only do so much, and I can tell you right now, I'm stretched out as thin as I can possibly be stretched. If you don't believe that, just try doing even one-tenth of what I do by yourself, as I do it, usually by myself, and see how far you get. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hi. I thank you very much. For the last 6 months, I've been trying to get your phone number, and today is the first day that the combination of static was low enough and that you said the number three times, so I got it.
Well, that's great. You know, the static should decrease and disappear altogether pretty soon. Yeah, very quickly. WRMI is going to be going to their new antenna. It's almost finished. I mean, everything is done. It would have already been online, except that their tower got hit by lightning a couple of weeks ago, and that delayed them again. You know,
that's pretty common. Well, that's what, down in Florida?
In Florida, and that's, you know, there's more lightning in Florida than any place else in the United States.
Well, except around the Charlotte area.
I don't know anything
North
about
Carolina.
That.
The storms all seem to start here and go there. Well, anyway, I've been listening to your broadcast as best as I can. I catch about 30 to 40% of them. And today is the first day that you said the phone number that I've been able to catch the phone number.
Well, I'm glad you finally got it.
And I wish that when you speak the phone number the next time, you say it slow enough so that somebody that's shall we say, on the aged side, they're able to catch it.
Well,
okay.
What I'm trying to do is pack as much information as I can into as short a period of time as I can, and I don't always say things slow, but I do always repeat the number several times.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Is that all you wanted to say?
I just wanted to say keep up the good work.
Okay. Thank you.
Of what you're doing.
Thank you. 520-333-4578 is the number. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Bill, this is Jeffrey Dykin from New Orleans. I'm picking you up loud and clear again over Radio RMI.
Hi, Jeffrey. I haven't heard from you in a long time.
I realize that. Part of it is because when your shortwave went out, I couldn't get you for a long time myself. But I am picking you up now, and I do have some information on the election situation down here that I think would be very important for you guys in Arizona.
Okay. Well, first tell everybody that's listening where you're at and what you're talking about, and then go for it.
All right. I'm in the French Quarter here in New Orleans, and I'm talking about the election last fall in which Senator Mary Landrieu, quote, defeated question mark, end of quote, Woody Jenkins, and in which Woody Jenkins is charged that fraud took place in the election. What has happened is this. The Senate committee held meetings during the Senate session, and at the last minute to try to avoid a Democrat filibuster, closed door hearings here in New Orleans. They subpoenaed at least 12 to 15 people and have demanded the records of Mayor, I'm going to use the term Karl Marx Morial, but his name is Mark Morial's Life Organization, charging that Life may possibly have, and I have to use that because of the radio situation, may possibly have bought votes and may have transported people to polls. Hearings will be conducted tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday in New Orleans. Morial has threatened to file suit in court charging the Senate with civil rights violations. We will have to see how things turn out because the Senate has sat on the evidence and the Republicans have not, I hate to use that term Republicans because they're a real shame for what they do, but anyway, the Senate Chairman John Warner has has said he hasn't, quote, found anything so far, end of quote, but with the amount of evidence that Jenkins has put in, the smoke is getting very, very thick, and there is a possibility that there will be, if the Morial people do not comply, there's a possibility of a lawsuit filed by the Senate against them. We will see what happens as time develops.
You said a lawsuit filed by the Senate?
Yes. You see, if a person who is subpoenaed by the Senate committee does not supply evidence, the Senate can charge them with contempt of the Senate and take them to court.
Yeah, but that's not a lawsuit. What that is a criminal action.
Right. It can turn into a criminal action if they are charged with contempt of the Senate.
Yeah.
Of course, the Democrats have 42 people in there, and that 42 is important because to break a filibuster, you have to have 60 to 61 votes minimum. And since the Democrats have 42 votes and they're going to protect sweet little Mary Landrieu, question mark, the result is that they don't think they can break the filibuster. But it still points out the chicanery that's going on around here as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's the situation basically as it is from here. One other point. You may have been hearing stories about how the crime rate has gone down, but the joker is that all news about crimes has to be filtered through the mayor's office before the press can even release that information, and that includes radio and television stations, so Morial is censoring the press. This came out last week over Andre Trevine, a local WWL radio reporter, on Tuesday, August the 5th, the night of the so-called National Night of Crime, when a caller reported this at 9:45 in the morning.
Uh-huh.
So there is even worse chicanery going on than people realize, especially since New Orleans no longer has any department stores operating within the city limits. The last old department store, Krause Company, went out of business and is closing its doors on October the 1st. So you can see what the crime wave is doing to this city when a big department store of the size of Krause that had everything in it from hair salons to cafeterias to everything closes down because the crime wave got too big and because the city was enforcing parking regulations too severely while letting the shoplifters go.
Huh. Wow. Well, I can imagine a city the size of New Orleans without any department stores. I mean, I've just never seen such a thing.
I realize that. All department stores are now in the suburbs, not in the city itself. And you can thank the Morial administration with all of their tightening of rules and everything else for pulling stuff like that.
Hmm. Okay. Well, thank you, Jeffrey.
We'll keep in touch, and I'll keep listening.
Appreciate it.
Right. Bye-bye.
Jeffrey's a long-time listener, folks, and as far back as I can remember doing this radio broadcast, I can remember getting calls from Jeffrey Dykett in New Orleans. And it's good to hear from you again, Jeffrey, because I haven't heard from you in a while and was beginning to wonder what happened to you. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill.
Hello.
This is Mike from North Carolina.
Hi, Mike.
I was just wanting to know if you had ever gotten another Kaji News group back on the Internet.
Back on the
Yeah, there was a Kaji News group about four months ago. Shut it down because some people weren't following the rules.
I didn't shut it down. I just closed it to everybody except members.
Okay, so you have to be a member to get it.
You have to be a member to get on it, yeah.
Okay. I just got your book, Michelle Moore's book, that is, Oklahoma City Day One.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just now in chapter one, and it's hard to put down.
Yeah, it is.
It's a really good book.
It is.
I'm thankful that there are people like her and you that are so determined to write books like that, because it's a shame that you can walk into a bookstore and you can't find something that you want to read that's something that will bring out the truth in a lot of things.
Yeah?
Yes, it's like a big Roman circus is everywhere.
Well, it is, and that's exactly what it is, the big Roman circus.
Yeah, but my wife and I just took a trip to Dallas, Texas in July, and we went through Dealey Plaza. I just want to say something for all the people listening out there. It's really touching to be in a place where Kennedy was murdered. You know, it's just like as if you were there 30-some years ago when it happened. And it's really moving. But it's really interesting when you walk around that outdoor temple of the sun. That's all it is.
Would you have recognized it for what it is if you had not listened to this broadcast?
I sure wouldn't have. You woke me up to something that's
They don't even know what they're standing in. They don't realize that Kennedy was the sacrifice king, sacrificed upon an altar in the temple of the sun.
And the reason why he was killed at 12:30 in the day.
Yeah, and according to the rituals of the ancient mysteries, and nobody understands any of that. And they go there and they look around and they see the obelisk and the reflecting pool and the plaza shaped and the shape of the pyramid with the truncated top, and they see the railroad overpass, which creates the tunnel underneath that makes the eye on the top of the pyramid. They look at the book depository building, and they don't even ask the question why that particular window, which Lee Harvey Oswald supposedly fired out of to kill the president, is the only square window in the entire building. And I could go on and on and on and on. And of course, the fork. That's right.
He was a great philanthropist.
Yeah. And they think this was all done by outside forces. But you see, there's one key to all of this that people have to understand. This whole thing was set up inside the government, and key players were in the Secret Service, because the Secret Service determined the route that the president takes. The president was supposed to go straight through on Main Street. At the last minute, the route was changed to take a right on Houston and a left on Elm Street in front of the Book Depository Building, something that Lee Harvey Oswald could never have known or anticipated, or anyone else, to do with the attempt to assassinate the president. And all of those route changes were made within the government and came from the Secret Service and had to be ultimately approved by the Secret Service and the highest levels of the government in order to make this assassination happen.
Pyramid, the base of the pyramid, or the shape of the pyramid.
Yep.
Only the ones at the top know.
That's right.
I have a photograph that, I don't know if it's the same one you said you have, but you had a photograph that showed Lee Harvey Oswald standing outside the Ely Plaza, outside the Book Depository.
He's actually in the doorway
of
the Book Depository building at the time that Kennedy is assassinated.
Yeah, I have a photograph that shows Kennedy reaching his hands to his throat because he was
already. Yeah, he was already shot in the neck, and Lee Harvey Oswald is in the background, standing in front of the front door of the Book Depository building. It is Lee Harvey Oswald. He didn't change shirts, as they claim later. He's wearing the exact same shirt that he was wearing when he was arrested, and in the news release photos of him in custody with that same shirt on. Same shirt, same T-shirt, same haircut, same hair comb. Same everything. It's Lee Harvey Oswald. There's no doubt about it.
Do you think that's why Officer Tippit was murdered? Because maybe he knew something that he shouldn't have known?
I have no idea. I don't speculate. I only tell what I know.
Right.
And what I know is Lee Harvey Oswald did not shoot John F. Kennedy, was not even up on the sixth floor, and couldn't have shot him anyway.
And you go in the sixth floor museum in that depository building, and they push that theory real hard that he did it.
Oh yeah, it's run by the proponents by the people who want you to go chasing wild gooses.
I'd just like to say that to the listeners. That's the one we went all over. We went to Oklahoma and Texas, and that was the highlight of our trip, was Dealey Plaza, because it's amazing when you walk somewhere where a man was murdered in cold blood and nobody was ever punished for it.
Yeah, did you go up on the grassy knoll behind the fence there?
Oh yeah, we walked to the overpass.
Are you a hunter?
Huh?
Are you a hunter?
Not really, but I can understand. I know how to hunt.
Well, have you ever hunted with a high power rifle with a high power scope on it?
I have one time.
And can you see somebody sitting behind the fence on that grassy knoll trying to get Kennedy in the scope and shoot him three times as he drives by that close to the fence?
Yeah, and it's easier to get a shot in too when your target is kind of coming at you rather than moving away from you.
Or going away. But I'm here to tell you right now, as an expert marksman who's been shooting all of his life, I can tell you that no one except someone who's absolutely insane and who did not want to accomplish what they set out to do, would stand behind that fence on the grassy knoll and try to shoot Kennedy with a high-powered rifle through a scope at that range.
Yeah, there's one thing that's common sense, that if there's a lot of people listening that still don't buy the, you know, that still believe Lee Harvey Oswald did it, if you shoot something, if you notice Kennedy's head recoiled back, his head bounced back
yeah.
on the impact of the bullet.
Uh-huh.
If you shoot something, it's not going to bounce back towards you. It's going to bounce away from you.
I fought a war, and fought it with everything from M16s all the way up to 50 calibers and 3.5 inch rocket launchers and grenade launchers, and I watched bombs fall on people. I never saw anyone that was ever hit by any weapon fall toward the shooter of that weapon.
That's right, and that's the thing right there. It's like the carrot hanging in front of the donkey that people just can't see it. It's just right there, and they just can't see it.
Well, they're also extremely foolish when it comes to what they're going to believe. I remember that Walter Cronkite hosted a documentary in which some guy from New York City set up a skull on the top of a ladder. And if you know, the wood on a ladder is very stiff and resistant.
Right.
And then instead of shooting through the skull so that there would be no resistance from the ladder and watching the skull go fly backwards away from the direction from which the bullet came,
right.
they got up on a higher platform and shot down into the skull so that when the bullet hit the skull, it would compress the top rung of the ladder and then bounce the skull back up toward the rifle. And everybody said, oh, yeah, they proved it. When you get shot, you really do flop toward the rifle instead of away from it. And I sat there and laughed. And then I felt like crying because it just shows how foolish people are, how stupid, how ignorant, and how readily they are to accept anything without even questioning it. And it just breaks my heart.
It's like Walter Cronkite. A lot of people don't know about Bohemian Grove in California.
Yeah, they also don't know that Walter Cronkite is one of the biggest pushers for world government. He's a member of the World Parliament Association and all kinds of other things. He has made public statements calling for world government and the elimination of nationalism and nation states and everything else.
Yeah, he plays the voice. He's the voice of the owl that hang in the tree at the Bohemian Grove.
Yeah, that's true. That's really true.
It's really amazing. But I don't mean to take up that much of your time, but I was just wondering, how much is a CADI membership?
Why don't you call? Because I don't want to give that out over the air because I'm not ready to accept a whole bunch of members right now. We have
okay.
what we need, and if you're interested, based upon what I've just heard, then we're interested in you. So call 520-333-4578 tomorrow between 9 a.m. and 1 Pacific, and we'll let you know.
Okay, one more thing. Is Volume 2 of Oklahoma City Day 1 out yet?
Volume 2 of Oklahoma City, if it's published, will not be published by Harvest. And I don't know if it'll ever be published or not. You'll just have to wait and see.
Okay, I appreciate it. You have a good evening. God bless you.
You too. 520-333-4578 is the number. And today it's live calling, simply because all of this equipment just went haywire and ate my rerun tape and everything else and left me standing here up a tree. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hello, Mr. Cooper.
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me all right?
Yes, I can.
Well, that's right. I've been a listener to yours for a long time, and I'm a first-time caller. I'm Gene from Michigan.
Hi, Gene.
And I listened to your program about this. People get chased around like geese or whatever, but anyway, what I'm calling about, they're a little bit different. I'm really glad your Veritas is going to come out again. I really enjoy your paper, and I'm glad to hear that. The problem I have is I can't get my medical records. And I know, I think you talked about that once.
Well, get them from who?
From the doctors. They keep giving me the runaround.
Take them to court. There is your help. It's your medical records, and you have a right to at least a copy of you. They don't have to give you the original, I don't believe, because they have to keep a copy of the records to cover themselves in case they've done something and you want to take them to court. But you're entitled, at least, to a copy of every single piece of paper, every word that's ever been written, every scrap of information that's in those records.
What about the Freedom of Information Act? Somebody said something about that.
Has nothing to do with doctors.
Pardon?
Has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with doctors.
Has nothing to do with, okay.
No.
I'm glad I called you because you get a lot of misinformation out here.
Well, let me illuminate you a little bit. When you're talking about something like that, don't call me and ask me. Because how do you know I'm going to tell you the truth or anybody else? Go get a copy of the Freedom of Information Act and read it.
Well, I don't even know where to do that, so
yes, you do.
And
yes, you do, and yes, you can.
I'm hoping I can be a little bit more explanatory, but I haven't been well for about 7 years. And I think that probably that you've already answered my question, Mr. Cooper. I wish I could do a little bit better conversation here, but I can't. And I think you answered my question, and I'll go back to the idea. I'm so glad that your paper's coming out. And when do you expect it to come out, sir?
Momentarily.
All right. Well, listen, I'll get off the air here. I think you answered my question, because all the disinformation I've got, I've been getting a runaround, and I haven't been able to do anything about it. Either.
The reason you've been getting the runaround is because you've been asking other people. Go get a copy of the Freedom of Information Act, or anything else that you need, and read it.
Where do you get the Freedom of Information Act copy?
Well, let me ask you something. Where do you think you would get it? Now, I'm not trying to be rough on you. I'm just trying to wake people up and teach them to use their own mind instead of waiting for somebody else to tell them. Where do you think that you could get it?
Well, I don't know. That's it. I don't know.
Well, but your mind must tell you logically that there's somewhere where this stuff is available.
At the library.
Hey, there you go. When's the last time you've been in a library?
Long time, Bill.
Well, get your little feet beating on that pavement and get down to the library. Almost everything that you ever need in your entire life is in your library. What you can't get there.
Well, I've heard you say that many times in the past here. Just rang a bell, and I'm sorry that I hope I didn't waste your time. I wanted to say thank you for your program anyway. I've learned quite a bit from it.
Great.
And we enjoy your program.
Thank you.
And I'll look it off here and let somebody else get out, sir. And I've ordered some other stuff from you, too. And you have a good day, sir. And I'm glad you're there and you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
You bet. Goodbye now.
What I need, though, folks, is not for you to take a personal affront at these things, but what I need you to do is to begin thinking and doing for yourself what you've always expected someone else to do for you. Because that's the only way you're ever going to find the truth, know the truth, and be able to take the proper action. What you can't find in your local library, you can usually find at the United States Government Printing Office, or in the Federal Register, or in the Congressional Record of the United States Code. All of these things are available to anybody in the entire world who wants to get their hands on them. And, you know, sometimes I sound like I'm being tough on you, and I know sometimes you get a little bit insulted. But let me tell you this, and make sure that you understand it. If you don't want to be somebody's slave, you better learn how to be your own master. Them's are the truest, most profound words you will ever hear from anybody in your life. And it is the absolute truth. Don't sit around and wait for me to be your leader or anybody else. You learn how to do it. If you don't, someone will always be lying to you, deceiving you, manipulating you, controlling you, and you will be their slave. They'll milk you for tribute. So, in some way, either right up front or roundabout, they're going to be stealing your money and your property from you also. That's how we got to this situation, folks. That's how we got where we're at right now. Nobody in this country knows anything about anything that they are supposed to know about. 520-333-4578 is the number. Remember, I always told you, you only get the truth from me, no matter who it hurts or helps, even if it hurts me. Sometimes it does, believe me. Sometimes it makes people so mad that they do everything in the world that they can to get back because I told them the truth. But that's all right, because that's all that's ever going to happen here. 520-333-4578 is the number. Today we're just having a live call-in broadcast simply because this equipment messed up, ate the tape, all that kind of stuff, and was doing things it's not supposed to, which it does every once in a while. Occasionally our equipment just gets old and fails. But since we put the studio, it didn't happen anywhere else but here, so I know that there's something peculiar about this place that's causing strange things to happen to some of this equipment. Now, somebody's going to call and say it's some secret agency out here directing beams in to screw me up. I'm going to tell you that's not true. I know that's not true because I know how they operate. If they wanted to screw me up, they just come up here to shoot me and be done with it. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. This is Joyce in North Carolina.
Hi, Joyce. How are you?
I'm fine. I've been listening for quite a while now. And several weeks ago, you played a tape from your conference, and there was a man speaking about his doubt that the astronauts went to the moon. Started when he was in high school, I believe. And he had mentioned in there, in his talk, from what I could hear, my reception was poor that night, that if they had gone through the thermosphere, that is so hot that they would have melted because the temperature is as high as to melt iron ore, which I found in my encyclopedia to be true. My question is, have they been able to go through that? Does that extend the whole way out into space?
Ma'am, even if they got through the thermosphere and the capsule that they were riding in,
Yes. They
would have been fried by the normal radiation from the sun.
He had mentioned about that.
Yeah,
that's right, the radiation.
So
does that mean they're not going out there?
Well, that's not what he said, and that certainly isn't what I said. We don't know if they've been to the moon, but we can tell you for an absolute fact and prove it scientifically, with their own science, by the way, that the Apollo space program was a total fraud.
Right.
The Apollo space program did not do what they said it did.
Mm-hmm.
And the videos and the photographs that they have presented to the American public are all fake.
Right.
And it's been proven not only by me and by Ron, but by many other people. And there is no doubt about it whatsoever. The whole Apollo space program with NASA was probably one of the biggest hoaxes and frauds that's ever been perpetrated against the world in the history of the world. It is a lie.
So then there's this latest Mars expedition.
I don't want to get into that.
Okay.
Did you listen to Chris Gerner's broadcast on Saturday night?
No.
Are you listening on shortwave?
Yes.
Oh, that's why. It wasn't on shortwave.
Okay.
To my knowledge, it wasn't on shortwave, but it was on this network, on satellite, and carried by a lot of our affiliate stations on low-power FM across the country.
I see.
And Ralph Renee, was a guest of American Exposé with Chris Gerner, mm-hmm. Saturday night, and they talked about an awful lot of this, and the facts are just overwhelming. That they did not do what they said they did.
Mm-hmm.
NASA lied to the American people, and we know exactly why they did it, and all of us fell for it for many years.
Right.
We fell for it when it happened and for many years afterwards, mm-hmm. until we stopped believing and started examining what they told us and found out that it was just simply a lie.
Right.
Could not possibly have happened.
I've been curious about all of that. There was one other thing I've been curious about for a long, long time.
Me too.
Is the... the origin of the Soviets using a red star, and we had a white star, like on the tanks and so forth, during World War II, and how that came about that they had a white 5-point star and we had a red one, we had a white. lately?
I don't know. Nobody's ever asked me that question, and I have never considered it.
Okay.
I really don't know.
About that. It seems now there's some sort of a other kind of marks on those, on the tanks and things that you see, like over in the Gulf.
Uh-huh.
Right. There's just kind of like part of a V upside down or right side up or something.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that is significant in the symbolism of the mysteries.
Right. Okay. That's what I wondered.
Yeah, you'll find that the words United States of America, United States, U.S. is disappearing from all of our equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And the same national markings are disappearing from weapons and armor and jeeps and mechanized vehicles of other countries also,
right,
as they prepare to combine all these things into world government. Well, it's a fact. It's not looking like it. It is absolutely going that way. There is no secret about it. They make no secret of it.
Yeah, do they?
And simply because the president hasn't gotten on TV and made a public announcement that that's what's happened is the only thing that keeps most sheeple from understanding it.
That's right. Yeah. Okay, well, it's been great to talk to you, Bill.
Well, thank you for calling.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, I think we have time for one or two more calls, 520-333-4578. Boy, we've been getting some calls from all over the country. But what amazes me is we've been getting some calls from some of the parts of the country that traditionally is not good reception for shortwave for WRMI, and they're telling me that they're hearing it pretty good. And I know they're not on the new antenna yet, so it must be atmospheric phenomenon that's causing this to happen. Shortwave is governed mostly not by the quality or the price of your radio, but by the quality and the price of your antenna, and that's the truth, and by the atmospheric phenomenon that makes shortwave either hard to hear or easy to hear, and I think that's called propagation. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that's the correct term. 520-333-4578 is the number. We've got time for maybe one or two more calls before we have to duck on out of here, and then I can somehow dig this this gobbled up tape out of this machine and then try to make up for the lost time in working on Veritas and the new webpage that I was originally planning to do during this time. So, if you want to get your word in here edgewise before we scoot on out the door, it's 520-333-4578. By the way, I heard from Gary Bourgeois. I believe it was yesterday or the day before yesterday. He's doing fine, very seldom home. If any of you who know his number have tried to call him, you know his summer schedule is he's not there. And that's why I haven't heard from him for a while. He says he misses the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network, me, Annie, the children, and everybody else, and he's doing fine in his new time slot, and his show is now up to 4 hours and getting bigger every Friday night. And that's really the reason why he left the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network. We did not ask Gary to leave. We are still friends with Gary, have always been. He's one of our dearest friends. It's just that our agreement was that he got 2 hours in exchange for free airtime in exchange for technical advice and help and support, and he needed a lot more time than that, and we were going to scheduling and selling airtime and trying to make this network professional, which it still is not, but we're working toward that end, and so Gary went somewhere else where he could have all the time that he wanted. Good afternoon, you're on the air.
Hi, Bill, this is Bud in New Jersey. Yeah, you're coming through very weak tonight. I wanted to mention that one of the reasons I think we're hearing you is that WEWN is not on the air, because when they're on the air, there's this big swoosh of noise that they put out that's about, about 20 kilohertz each side of their signal. It interferes with WWV from here also. But
let me ask you this. Why aren't you all complaining?
Gonna write to WRMI and find out the address for the FCC so that I could write a letter to them.
Why don't you call Washington, D.C. and ask the information operator for the number of the FCC. Call them and ask them for their address.
Okay, I'll do that tonight, and then I'll write them tomorrow.
Good. Write them a letter.
That are all formulated.
and complain. WEWN is a licensed station, and what they're doing is against the regulations and the law of the FCC. And right. Since they obtained their license, they agreed to abide by those rules.
I agree with that. Thank you.
You're welcome. You can bet your boots that if WRMI were interfering with this broadcast on WRMI, then that station would be screaming bloody murder at the FCC, wouldn't it? They certainly would, ladies and gentlemen. So, you know, don't be afraid to turn the tables on those who would do it to you. And, you know, just do it. Just do it. And remember, unlicensed broadcasters are not under the authority of the FCC unless they are engaging in interstate commerce in broadcasting. That means that particular station is paying for broadcasting, accepting money for commercials, accepting money for whatever, making a profit, and broadcasting at the same time across state lines or international borders. Good night. God bless each and every single one of you. This is the Voice of Freedom. Don't forget to tune in at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 Eastern, for Michael Cottingham and Quest for Health, followed later at 8 Pacific, 11 Eastern, with the Hour of the Time. You're listening to the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network. Stay tuned now for All Oldies. Stay tuned now for All Oldies most of the time. You see what I mean, folks? It just started right up. All oldies most of the time. Classic radio like you always wished it could be. Only the very best of the very best music of generations gone by. Thank you.